So here we are. We are a spirit. We have a soul, and we live in a body. I'm looking at a bunch of bodies, but inside is the real you. You're looking up at me, but inside of me is the real me. I am a spirit. Say, I am a spirit. I have a soul. I am not a soul. We have a soul. We are not a soul. And guess what else you're not? You are not a body. So out of those these three things, if we know, which I believe most of us knew in this place this morning, but again, you know, here we're going to hear a lot of things maybe that we've heard before, but I love it. Even, I mean, I've heard that I don't know how many times. But as I was in the Word and getting ready, understand that we can always see more. Amen. And we can always just receive a fresh light, a fresh revelation. It helps strengthen us in what we already know. And so we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. So which of those three things probably should we be giving the most attention to? Our spirit. But yet, and I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but if we be honest with ourselves, there might be some in here that'd be like, well, you know what? I let my soul kind of have most of the control, or my body, and not my spirit. But yet, in the meanwhile, the truth is, we are a spirit. We have a soul. And we live in a body. This is just the body we live in. No, it doesn't mean, and they think, well, then, you know, I don't have to take care of my body and da-da-da-da-da. Well, I mean, there's scripture in the Word. We're to take care of our body. We're supposed to, with what we have, do the best with what we've got. You know, God's not against us looking nice and dressing nice and liking nice things. Thank God. That's how He made me. I don't know about you. But, you know, you want to do the best with what you've got. But it's not all about our body. Amen. And then it's not all about our soul. We have one, but we are not one. We are a spirit. Amen. And so it's kind of interesting, too. I was remembering, I can't remember the title of the last Bible study. Do you remember offhand, Emily? Was it the a sanctified house? Was that the one? Yeah. But it was about the body. Do you remember that? It was just kind of more focusing on our body and kind of being sanctified. You know, our body is the house of God and kind of things. So I think the last one was kind of like about our body. And it's interesting, this time it's about our soul. And I didn't even plan that. That just kind of came to me the other day. So today it's about our soul. And so we learned the last time about our bodies. And if you want to get that, you'll need to get that Bible study one. It was a good one. But today it's about our souls. And because who knows, God's wanting us. We are spirit women. Spirit women, amen? And He needs some women walking in the Spirit. He needs some women knowing who they are. That they are not a soul and they are not a body, but they are a spirit. They have a soul and they live in a body, but their life is not centered around their body, and their life is not centered around their soul. It's centered around them, the real them, their spirit. Amen. So we're a three-part being: spirit, soul, and body. And remember, you know, when you were born again, you were given a brand new spirit. We were given a brand new spirit. It's not like he fixed it up the best he could and made it look really good again. No, it was in such bad shape. Amen. It was in such bad shape, he knew he had to take that thing out and give us a brand new one, amen. Brand new one. It was recreated. It was recreated, our spirit. But guess what? When our spirit, when we were born again, given that brand new spirit, who knows, we still had the same soul and we still had the same body. We were not given a brand new soul. But in the Bible, we're told in many places about that we are to renew our minds, and we'll get into that in a moment, but it's told that we're supposed to be working on our soul. That's our part. By the help of the Holy Spirit, that's our part. We couldn't have given ourselves a brand new spirit. We couldn't have done that. But we have a major part in getting our souls worked on here. So listen, the soul is a very complex thing. It is made up of three categories, just like we are, spirit, soul, and body. Now focusing in on the soul today, the soul can be broken down into three categories, and that is the mind, our emotions, and our will. Now listen to this. Our mind, what is that? Your mind is, it thinks, it reasons things. Oh my, can that not get us in trouble sometimes? Now, it doesn't mean, oh, God gave us a mind. Amen? God gave us a soul, right? We're spirit. We have a soul. It's been given by God. So don't think soul is bad. Having a soul is not bad. So these three parts of our soul are not bad. It's our mind, our emotions, and our will. Those are the three parts of our soul. None of them are bad. But we might look at one of those and we're like, oh man, probably, especially the emotion one, probably. A lot of us being ladies like, oh man, But it, we ought not. We don't have to be saying, oh, man. We need to say, yes, glory to God. We're going to learn some good things today, ladies. So it's the three categories. It's our mind, our emotions, and our will. All of them are wonderful, given by God to us. Amen? Because they're a part of our soul, which is given to God, given to us by God. Who knows that God had a soul? God had a soul. He had a soul. And I don't want to jump ahead. We'll get to that again. We're going to get to a lot of things in just a minute. But listen to this. So our mind does this. It thinks and it reasons. Our emotions feel, right? Has anyone ever feeled before? And then our will chooses. Very important things in our life, ladies, right? What we're thinking and what we're reasoning, what we're feeling and what we're choosing. Sounds like an important subject here, doesn't it? You know, Brother Summerall had said, it was quoted that he had said, about 90% of Christians I meet still live in their soulish nature. I was astounded by that number. 90%. And see, and so many people, and again, this is just a small Bible study here, you know, I mean, it's such an amazing subject, and I could just get so much, obviously, in our hour this morning, but it's amazing. And it's like so many people, and of course, even with us, you know, pastoring, you know, meeting people and da-da-da-da-da. I mean, it's just amazing that a lot of people, it's like they think they're being led by their spirit, and it's their soul. They're living from their soul, and they believe God is talking to them. And they're being led by their soul instead of the spirit of God that's on the inside of them. But they're saying, oh, I'm being led by God to do this or that. Meanwhile, they're being led by their soul. They're being led by thinking and reasoning and feelings and their choice. Not willing maybe to suffer or whatever it might be, see? So we don't want to be afraid of that, but we do want to learn about this, don't we? So, hey, I don't want to be led by my soul anymore. I want to be led and only led always by the Spirit of God. Because who knows? He is the one is going to lead us correctly, lead us rightly. Amen? So thank God for that. Such an important thing. So like I said, one more time, Brother Saul Morrell said, about 90% of Christians I meet still live in their soulish realm. Hey, why don't you just say right now, hey, I'm not living there anymore. I'm not living there anymore. Amen. And who knows, this is not an overnight work. This is, you know, who knows, we are all works in progress. We are all works in progress. Amen. But I don't know about you, but I don't want, especially if there's something in my life that I just seems like I'm not getting much victory on, I don't want to be stuck there. I want to move on to the victory. If there's something that I not only am not necessarily experiencing the victory, but I feel like I'm actually slipping back into some things. Come on, get me out of there and I'm going into the victory. Amen. Hallelujah. Because we were born to win. Glory to God, ladies. You were born to win. You are winners. Amen. We can do this thing. We can do this. This is not hard. Now, this is hard to the flesh. But to you, the real you that I'm speaking to today, this is not hard for you. This is what you long to do. This is where you long to live. Amen. So the mind, the three categories of the soul, the mind, the emotions, and the will. Really briefly here, concerning our mind, like we said, that's our thinking. That's our reasoning. Now, thank God, God gave us a mind. It's a God-given thing. It's not bad. But who knows, we can use it badly. So we want to use it for the glory of God, not for the glory of ourselves or the glory of the devil. Hallelujah. So our mind, and over in Romans 12, let's turn there really quick. I just want to bring one scripture out concerning the mind, and then we're going to move on to the emotions. Just explaining what our soul is, so we have a little bit more of an understanding of what actually this soul is, so we won't give it control anymore when it tries to pop its ugly head up. Because we, spirit, are the ones that are to be guiding, driving this car. Amen. Where to be driving this car. So in Romans 12, let's just pick it up in verse 2 here. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is how we are transformed. And too many, even Christians, I mean, there's a lot of carnality in the Christian world. It is upsetting. You don't want to be caught up in this carnal Christianity place. No, man, I want to be caught up in this spiritual Christianity place. I don't want to be carnal anymore. I want to go on to maturity. I want to go on into the spirituality that God's created for me to be and operate in. No more carnality. When we see it, when we find ourselves sinking in that carnality, let's rise up. Who? Us, the real us, rise up out of that thing. Rise up out of that carnality, out of that soulish spot, and let's rise up into who we really are. And he's saying, don't be conformed to the world. It's one or the other. We are either being conformed to the world or we're being transformed by the word. It's one or the other. We're either being conformed to this world. And who knows? It's a fight. If we just sit back and do nothing, well, you say, well, I'm not really doing anything. You're being conformed to this world because you are in this world. And we got to rise up and realize we are not of this world and we will not be conformed to this world. But instead, I'm going to be renewed. I'm going to be transformed from the inside out. We've had awesome messages about being transformation, right, around here. But we are being transformed. How does that happen? By the renewing of our minds. And how are we going to do that? The word of God. The word of God. The words of God. The words of God will renew your mind. Our mind needs to be renewed, especially some of us. We maybe got saved at a later date, a later year in our life. So who knows? The world got in there, right? There was a lot of conforming. So there's some untwisting of thinking. There's some unraveling of mentality of certain things, right? So it's like a fight. It's like a fish trying to fight, you know, kind of go upstream. Once we're saved, man, it's a fight. It's a fight to think right. It is a fight to think. It doesn't come automatically. It doesn't come naturally. It's a fight to think right. But we fight, glory to God, and we're in the word of God, and it's transforming us, and it is renewing our mind. Listen to what the word renew means. In the Greek of that word, ready? It means to make extensive changes in. To make extensive changes in. God knew what we needed. He knew, yeah, I gave you a brand new spirit, but my, oh my, I know that soul's going to need some help. Now, you got a part to play in it, but I'm giving you my words to do the work. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word. So renew in that scripture, it means to make extensive changes in. I mean, just think about that. To make it, he knew there would be some extensive changes needed. To make like new. Notice it doesn't say to make new. Remember, us, the real us, our spirit was made new. Our soul was made, is to be being made like new. It's not new. It's being made like new. Have you ever had an old piece of furniture or something? You made it, you refurnished it, and da-da-da, and you made it like new. It looks just like new. But it wasn't a brand new. You didn't take that old piece of furniture, throw it away, and bring in a brand new piece. You just made it like new. Well, that's the process that's going on in us. And that's why the enemy so much doesn't want us in this word, because he knows this is our answer. And we'll just say, if we don't have time for this, man, we're basically telling ourselves, I don't have time to be transformed. I don't have time for my mind to be renewed. And then we wonder why. Hey, been there, done it. Then we wonder why am I thinking that way? And you know, and it's not only, see, but then there's a concern, because then we can do it like so religiously. And there's not much power in that either. By the Spirit of God, we are in this word, not religiously, but with a heart of hunger to want to know, not doing it out of works, doing it out of a love for God and wanting our minds renewed. So it's not about, you know, doing our devotions. It's about living a life devoted. So our spirit was recreated, but our soul needs to be renewed. Our spirit was recreated, but our soul needs to be renewed. And what's the number one way to do that? The word of God. We see it right over there in Romans 12:2. Amen? We don't want our mind in control. But who knows? We don't want to live without a mind. I know some people seem to be doing that. That's concerning. But yet sometimes there just seems to be a time and a place and a moment where it's, God, just get me out of my mind. Take my mind and just shove it over there for a while and just let me flow from my spirit. That's how we feel a lot, don't we? Because we know our mind gets in the way. Well, instead of trying to get rid of the problem, let's go ahead and fix it by the help of the Holy Ghost. So then up out of our spirit as it's coming up, it's through our mind, and we flow. We follow our hearts, and we're able to use our mind. Our mind doesn't come against our heart, but our mind helps enhance and give ideas and things to what's in our heart, you see? It's just, they all kind of go together. This will keep making sense. Let's go to the next one concerning, so that first category of our soul was the mind. It thinks, it reasons, it needs to be renewed. Now for our emotions, somebody say, oh my. Now for our emotions, they feel. Guess what they need to be? Controlled. Not annihilated. Not taken away. Controlled. Listen to what the word controlled means. I looked it up in Webster's. To dominate. Ooh, you like to dominate, ladies, don't you? You know you do. You, the real you. And let's face it, just think about it. If we feel like, oh, and maybe some of us here have been dominated by our spirits, glory to God, this is to help cheer you on. Keep going, keep growing, amen? But if some of you have been operating maybe more in your soul, and you're going to realize that today maybe, well, here it is. Realize that you, the real you, you've been allowing something else to dominate you. You don't want that, do you? You know you don't. You want to dominate. You want to dominate. So we don't want to let our soul dominate us. Us. When I say us, remember us, spirit. We are a spirit. We have a soul when we live in a body. We need the soul. We need the body. But we are a spirit, first and foremost. And so I don't want to be dominated. Another definition for controlled. To hold in check. Controlled. To dominate. To hold in check. It doesn't mean to get rid of. It means to hold in check. Now, let's face it, just our flesh, our natural part of us, it's like, you know, just take, the flesh always wants to take the easy way out. Just leave or just throw it away or just get rid of it. So much easier. Just like even, I'm like, hey, God, I mean, when you gave me a brand new heart, couldn't you, like, you know, thrown in a brand new soul with it? It would have made things easier. And a body, too, would have been nice, maybe. Just give us all three brand new. Hallelujah. But he didn't do that. I wonder why. And so our emotions are to be controlled. So we want to hold them in check. To what? To us. To our spirit, the real us. Hold them in check. Have you ever had to, like, hold your kids in check? Have you ever had to hold yourself in check? I know I have. Hold those emotions in check. We can do this. We are not to be led by our emotions, but we are to use our emotions. Our emotions are God-given. And some people think, oh, they're too emotional. Hey, I'm like Jesus. Jesus was emotional. He wept. He laughed. He rejoiced. He did a lot of things. He was angry. Remember that whip in the... Yeah, he was all those things. He was compassionate. He was very emotional. But who knows, seeing the life of Jesus that we saw here for those few years that are recorded in the Word of God, seemed like he had control over those emotions, didn't he? Now, look at this. It didn't look like he had control of his emotions when he had that whip in the temple, did it? That would look a little bit out of control, those emotions, it would seem, wouldn't it? But who knows? All I know is, hey, Jesus was not out of control with his emotions. He was led by the Spirit. It's interesting. And then yet when he would be, you know, he was weeping over Jerusalem. I mean, he was weeping. He was using his emotions. His emotions were expressing his spirit. That's what our emotions are to do, to express our spirit. That's what they're used for, to express our spirit. Amen? Not to express our soul. And we've been using our emotions too long to express our soul instead of expressing our spirit. Jesus was expressing his spirit when he was in the temple with those whips. He was expressing his spirit. Interesting, huh? We do not want our emotions in control. We are not to be led by them, but we are to use them. Anybody ever heard the song, you know, express yourself? I thought about that as I was, you know, doing that. I was like, but yeah, exactly. God wants you to express yourself. I think sometimes then even there, you know, I think, well, again, not to express our soul, what we're feeling and what we're going through, not to express from our soul, but to express from our spirit, the real us, our spirit, God in our spirit, the Holy Spirit in our spirits wants to express himself. And he can't do it by himself. He does it through us. So even with us, sometimes when we have a Holy Ghost service, some people that gets them a little concerned because things maybe look a little out of control. That gets them concerned maybe because that they seem a little bit too emotional. But we're to be emotional. And I'm not saying everything that, sometimes it's definitely brass at times and it's just flesh, but we don't want to throw away the baby with the bathwater. Right, Mama? We don't want to throw away the baby with the bathwater. Did I hear Adeline coo? But there's times where we want to do that. And sometimes even someone, maybe there's a song going on. All of a sudden, someone just wants to run around the room. I'm not saying every time someone runs around the room, it's in the spirit. It could be flesh, but generally speaking, it's just their spirit just wanting to express themselves. They're just so excited. They're just filled. And just some people just release it that way. Some people might release it just with laughing at times. See, but there's different avenues that the Holy Spirit does want to express himself through us. And let's face it, we're expressing our soul. I mean, even more so, we want to express our spirit. We don't want to keep that bottle down, right? So let him express himself through you. You think, oh, well, that's just not my personality. Well, that's not true. You don't understand. It's Jesus' personality, and I want Jesus' personality to be my personality. He's not going to change. I want to change. I want to have his personality. And in all my emotions, I endeavor, and I know you all do too, you endeavor to respond, use our emotions, to respond to our spirit, not to our soul. Amen. Listen to this. Smith Wigglesworth had said, my emotions are servants to my spirit. Ooh, don't you love that? My emotions are servants to my spirit. Not my spirit is a servant to my emotions. Whatever are my emotions, they're out of control. Whatever they say, whatever they're doing, that's the way my spirit's going. No! My spirit. My emotions are servants to my spirit, not my spirit a servant to my emotions. Life will wreak havoc. We live like that. I thought of David in the Psalms. He spoke to his soul. He said, soul, put your hope in God. He said, soul, be quiet. Quiet yourself. He spoke to his soul. David knew he was a spirit. And he was speaking to his soul. He was not a soul. He can't be a soul if he's speaking to his soul. He's a spirit speaking to his soul. He's saying, hey, rejoice. Put your hope in God. He spoke to his soul. Maybe we need to do that sometimes. Speak to that soul. Because remember that soul, we don't want it to have control. And that soul is where our feelings, our emotions, all these things that would try to rise up, speak to it. If it starts trying to feel discouraged and, heavy, speak to it. Soul, rejoice. Rejoice in God. I mean, my Lord Jesus didn't fall off the throne, did he? I mean, can you just picture Jesus just kind of toppling over? I mean, if that happened, then I think maybe we can do this. But it's never going to happen. So if he's sitting on the throne, keep him on the throne of your life. Because he's not being removed from the throne in heaven. Amen. We keep him on the throne in our life. When those times, and it means those times will come. They will absolutely come. But at those times, we say, soul, rejoice in God. Hallelujah. He is the lifter of my head. Amen. The Psalms are filled with wonderful things like that. But talk to your soul. Talk to your emotions. Because they're trying to talk to you. They're trying to tell you how you're going to act. They're trying to tell you how to respond. They're trying to tell you how to react. Why don't you tell your soul what to do? Dominate it. Amen? Come on, we're dominators. Hallelujah. You know you want to be. Let's not let our emotions control us anymore, but rather we, spirit, control them. And, and to use them to express, like we said, our spirit, and just to use it to express our faith, to express our love for God. Use your emotions to express your love for your spouse. It's not about a feeling. It's about a believing. It's about a commitment. Use your emotions to express the love of God for our family, our spouse, our children, people. Let the love flow. Express the love of God. People say, don't just wear your feelings on your shoulders anymore, right? What is the way they say that? Oh, they're wearing their feelings on their shoulders. on their sleeves. Well, thank you. We don't want to wear our feelings on our sleeves. We want to keep them controlled. And the third one is, so far, the three parts of the soul, our mind, it's thinking, our reasoning, it needs to be renewed. And then number two, our emotions, it's how we feel. They need to be controlled. And the last one, our will. And that's what chooses. And it needs to be surrendered. Our will is the decision maker. That's the decision maker, is the will. It needs to be surrendered. Listen to what the dictionary said about the word surrendered. To give up. Anybody ever said, I give up? But in the wrong way? I give up. You give up. You just say, I give up. To give up, to abandon. To give up, to abandon. What are we giving up? What are we abandoning? Our will. Listen to this. To yield in favor of another. To surrender. To yield in favor of another. Doesn't mean like you having your own will is necessarily wrong. But we want it to be surrendered to his will. If we want to live his kind of life. To yield in favor of another, our will, yielding our will, surrendering, yielding our will in favor of another. Jesus did. Let's turn. Luke 22. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Luke 22, in verse 42. Jesus over in the Garden of Gethsemane. Let's pick it up in verse 41 because these words really jumped out at me as I was reading this. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying. Notice that. He knelt down. It's a sign of humbling ourselves. He knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. We are not going to be able to do that if we're not, generally speaking, kneeling down and praying. That was a sign of him already. It was just a surrender. And then it just, you see how it just flows together? He was surrendering. And notice that word will, actually in the Greek, it also means choice. So Jesus was saying, hey, God, not my choice, but your choice. Watch that. Jesus had a choice, and it was different from God's. Everyone sometimes always thinks, well, Jesus wanted everything that God wanted. Jesus was a man. Look at this plan. He knew the prophecies. He knew what he was called to do. You think he's going to sit there and want that in his own flesh? He doesn't want that. But yet it's not what I choose, but what you choose. Because he knelt down and prayed, he was able to choose rightly every day. This was not just a one-day choice. All of a sudden, Jesus was like, okay, yeah, God, I choose your way. And I think this doesn't happen overnight, because this was a big one. Who thinks this was a big choice right here? Big choice. A lot of lives hinged on this choice, ladies. This didn't just come overnight. This was a life of surrender, a life of abandonment, led Jesus to this time. And so I think about us. What about us? A life. And maybe you feel like, well, I haven't been doing that at all, or I've been doing it here a little bit there. Or maybe you have been doing it. But I just encourage every single one of us in this room, realize our choices every day, they affect more than us. Jesus' choice affected a lot of people, didn't it? I'm so glad he chose to live that life of surrender every day. And then when the big one came, even that when he was on the cross, he when they were taking him away, he said, don't you think I can just call and a legion of angels will come and rescue me? It's like, he knew still, he had the power, he could do that, even past here when they were taking him. He said, don't you know, I could pray right now and a legion of angels will save me. That didn't just come naturally for Jesus. I mean, this was strong stuff here. surrender to God's will, God's choice. Jesus did not have the same will as God. He surrendered his will to God, but it was not the same. It was just surrendered. Amen? So our mind is to be renewed, our emotions to be controlled, and our will to be surrendered. And what does that equal? No more soul control. So we work on this, not in the flesh, not in our own strength, by the help of the Holy Spirit. He is your helper. He is my helper. We work on this. Amen. Listen to this. Luke 21, we're right near there. Look at Luke 21, verse 19. In your patience, possess your souls. In your patience, possess your souls. That word possess means own it. In your patience, own your soul. Dominate it. Who? The real you, spirit man, right? In your patience, possess your soul. You're not a soul. Possess your soul. Dominate it. Own your soul. And I just think it's kind of funny. He knew we would need patience to do that. Can anyone admit maybe you need patience to possess our soul? Listen to what the word patience means in the Greek. Phenomenal. Love this. That word patience there, in your patience, own your soul. Patience. The capacity to continue to bear up under difficult circumstances. In your patience. So that shows me right there, he's given me what I need. He's given me this patience, the capacity to continue to bear up under difficult circumstances. That's what patience is. It's not like, I'm being patient. I'm waiting. That is not patience. People think, you know, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is patient. They think, you know, well, I'm just waiting. That's not patient. Right? Have you ever thought you were being, have you ever claimed to be patient and you weren't being patient? You were just putting up with something. Well, here you go. Patient. Put up with it. The capacity to continue. Put up with it and let it break through it. Amen? We don't need to put up with it, but we want to press in to break through it. Break through that thing that tries to control our soul. Control the real us. Our spirit. The capacity to continue. To bear up under difficult circumstances. Amen. Steadfastness, constancy, endurance. Steadfastness, constancy, endurance. That's what that word patience means. And it's by that that we're going to own our soul. James 1:21, let's turn there. Another very powerful scripture concerning getting our soul saved. We are to go on to the salvation of our souls. I can't remember where that was, but there's a scripture in there. It says, go on to the salvation of your soul. Our spirit's been saved, but we're to be getting our soul saved by the help of the Holy Spirit. Our soul still needs to be saved. It is being saved daily, hopefully. It's not automatic, you know. Your soul being renewed daily is not automatic. It takes us doing some things. It takes some patience. Look what else it takes. James chapter 1, verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. I believe we even used that scripture the last time, just concerning that sanctification of our body, our house. Watch this. Lay aside. Now, it doesn't say, now, therefore, God will take away. No, it says, therefore, you. Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. And again, right there, not in our own strength, by the help of the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us, we have it. He is our helper to help us do these things. We can't do it in our own strength. He helps us. Amen. Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive. Notice that if we got a bunch of stuff in our, we need to lay it aside so we can receive the implanted word, which is able to save our souls. Notice, which, it doesn't say which saves our souls. It says which is able to. What's able to? The word is able to save our souls. Well, what do you, it doesn't just do it. It's able to, watch, let's read on. Here's the difference. But be doers of the word of God. See, so if we're just hearing the word of God, that's not going to save your soul. That's not going to help us get our souls saved, just hearing the word of God. It's doing the word of God that we hear, which is what will help get our souls saved. Putting the word into action, putting the word into action in our life, stepping out by faith with the help of the Holy Ghost to do these words that convict our heart, not just sitting on them and squishing them, but getting out and living them. Amen. James chapter 1, verse 21. And then verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Such a dangerous place. We don't want to be deceived. And then it goes on, wonderful scriptures there. But there you go. The word is able to save your souls. But it's going to save it when you do it. Amen. Wonderful news, isn't it? It's wonderful news. But notice there was a laying aside to receive. And then lastly here, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Just a few scriptures here about the soul wanted to bring out. Just one book over there. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at this in verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Powerful scripture. But right there, just wanted to bring out. How does your soul get purified? Obeying the truth. Being a doer of the truth. Being a doer of the word. It purifies us. Amen. Amen. We want our souls to be dominated. We want our souls to be controlled by us, our spirit. Amen. So who's in control? Who's the boss at your house? I don't mean at your natural house. I mean you. Who's the boss in your house? Who's the dominator? Who's the one that wins? Who's the one that ultimately decides and makes the choices? I want it to always be my spirit because he always leads me into truth. He always leads me into victory every time. And who knows, sometimes you're being led and it doesn't look like victory. My Lord, did it look like victory for Jesus? If he went by what it looked like, he never would have done it. But he went by what the Father said, what the Father promised, and that was strength to him. Well, I think we all would say, especially hearing some of these things we've heard today, the real me, spirit, man, I want to be the boss of my house. I want to be the dominator. Amen. So just a few points here to help us live our life from our spirit. You ready? Just four quick points here. I mean, they're all, each of them is just a message in its own, but we're just going to hit them really quick. And on these things, some you might even come think of some scriptures later, maybe as you meditate on this later. God, the Holy Spirit will give you, he's the teacher, amen. Right now he's teaching through me, but you can go home and he can teach you through the word. Amen. People think, oh, well, see, I don't have to go to church. The Holy Spirit's my teacher. Well, the Holy Spirit gave, remember, he gave the gifts to the church, right? He gave them for a reason, right? But we also need to know we've got the Holy Ghost, each one of us on the inside. We can go home and hear from God too. Amen. Aren't you glad? You don't have to just live at church, although that wouldn't be so bad. But now to live our life from our spirits, because we don't want our soul to have control anymore, right? So, and then here also, I was a little concerned. We don't want to focus so much, and that's why I want to end with this. Some things, we don't want to focus on, oh, our soul and what we have to fix and what we have to change it. I mean, that's good, it's right, but we don't want to get stuck there in the works of it all. You see? And we don't want to focus, okay, I have to change this, I have to change that. Well, let's just focus on living life from our spirit, getting our spirit stronger, because who knows, whoever's stronger is the one that's going to dominate. So if we'll focus more on getting our spirit stronger, instead of trying to focus on getting my soul weaker, let's just focus on getting our spirit stronger. And then the soul automatically becomes weaker because our spirit became stronger. You see what we're saying? So these things about the soul are very important, but nonetheless, we don't want to focus on what we've got to do. Just focus on who we have and what we've been given And just walk in the revelation of it. And you'll see your circumstances change. There's hope. But you got to be patient, right? But we can do it. Because he said we can. He's my daddy. If my dad says I can, well then by golly, I can. Amen? How about you? You got that same attitude about you or no? Well, good. I love that. You got to have an attitude, ladies. You know, sometimes it's like, what is this? Whatever you, well, what was that? Whatever you put up with. Yeah, this came to me this morning. I don't know if it'll make sense to you. It made sense to me, some things I was thinking and pondering on. But anyway, you've heard pastors say, if you have a problem, it's because you have a problem. Isn't that phenomenal revelation, Jessica? If you have a problem, it's because you have a problem. It's not because your husband, it's not because your children, it's not because the old lady in front of you going 5 miles per hour. If you have a problem, it's because you have a problem. I know. I said that the other day with a few ladies around, and one of the ladies didn't like it at all. She did not like it. Because I think she thinks her husband's the problem. Meanwhile, she's the problem. But anyway, God bless her heart. But anyway. So what I got this morning was, what you put up with is what you'll put up with. I don't know. That doesn't make sense as I'm saying it now. I'm sorry. I don't remember exactly how. Does it make sense to you? You got it? Okay, good. And so it made me relate to what Pastor had said about that revelation. It's kind of like, what you put up with is what you're going to put up with. So if you don't want to put up with it, then don't put up with it. Woo! I know. Big major revelation coming forth from the pulpit today. Some of you are looking at me like, huh? Hallelujah. And we don't have to put up with it. My Lord, the Spirit of God on the inside of us doesn't want to put up with it. He don't want you putting up with it. He doesn't want you living your life below average. He wants you living your life above average. He wants you in first class. He doesn't want you in low class. He don't want you in middle class. He doesn't want you in first class. He wants you in the God class. But what we put up with is what we'll put up with. So we think it's all up to God. No, it's really kind of all up to us because he's already decided. You see? Awesome. So, four ways to help develop our spirit. Because who knows, when you're developed, like even in your body, when you develop your muscles, what happens? They get stronger. They're able to lift more. They're able to press more, right? So we want to develop our spirit. So why? So it's stronger. It's stronger than our soul. So it dominates. So it wins in the fight. What do you want to win when it comes down to it? Between spirit and soul, which one's going to take the control? Who do you want to win? You, spirit man, or you, spirit woman. Amen? So which is the one that's going to win? The one that's stronger. So if our soul's strong, we think, well, why does this keep happening? Why? Well, revelation, hello, the soul's been stronger. It's been having the control a lot longer. That's why. Durr. Such English. I am an English scholar. Durr. But you know, sometimes it's just like we need that. We just like, duh. You know, it's like, durr. So let's get our spirit man strong. Let's get strong. Let's get developed. Let's get muscles, ladies. You want some muscles about you? Come on, you want muscles. That way we're the boss, we're in control, we're the dominator. Number one, feed on the word. Some ways to help us get stronger, develop our spirit so it's stronger. Feed on the word. This word of God, why do you think this word of God was given? It was given to help us develop our spirit, man. It was given to help us develop into who we really are, to see who we are so we can be who we are. To tell us what we have so we can take what's ours. And the list goes on. Feed on the word. Two ways you can feed on the word. Read. I like to say feed, though. I'm going to read the word today. No, I'm going to feed my spirit today. We feed our natural body, don't we? Right? Let's feed our spirit. It helps get us strong. Who knows? Even with our natural body, we need nutrients and minerals and vitamins and protein and carbohydrates. You need a mixture of all these things, a well-balanced diet. Well, what about our spirit, man? It needs a well-balanced diet. It just doesn't need to keep hearing about prosperity, prosperity. It just doesn't need to keep hearing about suffering, suffering. It just doesn't need to be, it needs to hear about all of it. Tithing too. Surrendering. Submission. prosperity, the joy of the Lord, well-rounded diet. Amen? Who wants to be well-rounded? In the spirit. So you're like, I kind of am. No, we want to be well-rounded. Spirit, well-rounded. Amen. You are what you eat. You are what you eat. What have we been eating lately? Now that can be really good news. Have we been eating on the Word of God, feeding on the Word of God? Do you understand? It's a living substance. It's like we eat it, and it becomes a part of us. Okay, and then another way to feed on the Word, so we said reading the Word, or I like to say feeding the Word, but then meditating on the Word. And we don't have time to turn there, but over in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, listen to what it says. We're not going to turn there, but listen. Another way to feed on the Word is just meditating on the Word. That word meditate means to mutter, murmur. And that we're not talking about backbiting, murmuring, and complaining, and griping, and moaning, and all that stuff. We're talking about murmuring under your breath like this. Not, you know, murmuring and muttering is good, but what are we using it for, right? Murmuring and muttering, the Word of God. That helps us keep the Word fresh. Oh, thank you, Lord, I'm more than a conqueror. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Speaking the Word, muttering it, murmuring it. Who's a murmurer? Come on, you want to be a murmurer just for the right way, amen? And then pondering. Listen to what that verse says in the Amplified in verse 8. Listen, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. Well-rounded diet, right? For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall, I love this, deal wisely and have good success. When we're led by our spirit, we'll know how to deal wisely because it's the spirit of wisdom. One of his names is the spirit of wisdom. So if we get him strong on the inside of us, then in life we'll be able to deal wisely because we've got the spirit of wisdom on the inside of us guiding us. Amen? This word is filled with wisdom. So as we feed on it and we meditate on it, we're being filled with wisdom. That way, what a wonderful thing, how to develop our spirit and to be led by our spirit. It knows what to do in wisdom. It shows us the way. Amen? Amen. And then another one is do the word. We've already talked about that, so we don't have to go over that, but James 1:22. Four ways to help develop our spirit. Number one was feed on the word. Number two, do the word. Do the word. James 1:22. Number three, give the word first place. Give the word first place no matter what. What does the word say? And this is a growing. This is a growing into this. This isn't an overnight success deal. You know what I'm saying? This, we grow in this. But if you haven't started, start today. And if you started and dropped it, pick it back up. And if you've started and you've been doing, well, praise God, keep doing it. But no matter what, something comes up. What does the word say? What does the word say? Getting advice from others and their opinions probably is not the best thing to do. Unless, of course, it's your pastor or a person filled with wisdom of the word. It's like, give me the word. People say, oh, you know, pastor, I need to come with you for some advice. It's like, you're not coming to me for advice. You're coming to me for the word. I don't have any advice for you. I have the word for you. Amen. Thank God for that. Because who knows? I mean, and I've seen it. It's so disheartening. But you just can't. You can only help people as much as they'll receive your help. But you see people being led away by other people's opinions. And even maybe their opinion of what the word says. They'll throw the word in there. But with their opinion on it, and it twists it. So they want to make it look spiritual. Look, you can follow me, you know. They make it look spiritual in their opinion, and man is all over it. So getting that advice from others. So the main place we want to go to our advice is first the people that God's put over our life. They're there for a reason. Man, you guys, you know we love you, amen? You know we love you. We're here for you if you're a part of this church, of course. You know, and I mean, there's a reason for that. It's protection. Thank God for protection. People think, oh, they got this big problem with submission. It's about protection, sweetie pie. It's protection. A sheep out there, the wolves come and eat you up alive. Eat your life, eat your family too. It's about protection. So giving the word first place in our life. What does the word say? About anything, everything. What does the word say? We want the word to rise up in us and bring us illumination into our mind and direction to our spirits. And then that the word of God that we've been in, that we've been in it, we've been doing it. It's a part of us. We're a part of it. It's a part of them. I mean, it's just a part of us. It comes out of you. It oozes out of you. Amen. It can happen. It can be this way. So we want that. We want the word to be a soul part of us that it's the first thing we think of. And notice this, as we give his word first place, he will perform it. We're not going to turn there. What, if you're taking notes, you can write this down. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. Jeremiah 1:12 in the King James Version, listen to what it says. This so jumped out at me. I will, this is God saying it, I will watch over my word and perform it. No, excuse me. I will watch over my word to perform it. So notice that as we give his word first place in our life, he's going to perform that word that we're giving first place in our life. We don't have to bring that thing to pass. He brings it to pass as we surrender to him and give his word first place. Amen? Love that. And then fourthly is obey the voice of your spirit. Obey the voice of your spirit. You know that we can also call it, that's our conscience. And that's before you were even saved, you had a conscience. You didn't get a spirit when you were saved. You were already a spirit. People that are not saved, they are a spirit. They're just of the wrong spirit. But, you know, their spirit is, no, we can't get into that. But anyway, we're all, even people that are not saved, they are a spirit. They have a soul and they live in a body too. See, we just, one day we got saved and he took out that old spirit and gave us a brand new spirit. But there was one there. So that's our conscience. And I'm sure a lot of us, even, you know, we can think about, I remember time and time again, thank God at times, following my conscience, even when I was not saved, following that conscience, you know, and just not going here, not doing that. I mean, there's three major things that I know would have happened in my life, just different stuff. And you think how sad it is, and you wish it wouldn't be, but then there's other people that didn't follow their conscience, and then those things happen. They think, well, why was this allowed to happen to me? And I could have been one of those, well, why was this able to happen to me? But then if I'd look back, I'd be like, there was something telling me. There was something telling me, don't do that. There was something telling me, don't hang out with them. There was something telling me, don't go there. Got to follow that conscience, especially now that we're born again. My Lord, because now he knows exactly where to lead us and guide us. Yeah, he knows the answer, right? He knows the direction, glory to God. We've got a guide on the inside, ladies. A guide on the inside. Amen. So obey the voice of your spirit. It's our conscience. It's our conviction. Intuition. It's the voice of the human spirit. But see, so you think God speaks or communicates to your spirit. God, by the Holy Spirit, communicates and talks to our spirit, our human spirit, you see? So we all have a spirit, and then we receive the Holy Spirit, right? And that's how God talks to us. And there's scripture that we don't have time to turn to, but over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it talks about the mind of God and being the spirit of God. You can read in there and see it's wonderful scriptures there that showing that who knows the mind of God except the spirit of God? Even though, who knows the mind of man except the spirit of man? You don't know what I'm thinking. Only me, my mind knows what I'm thinking. You don't know what I'm thinking, you see? So it's saying even the Spirit of God knows what, who knows what God's thinking? Nobody knows what God's thinking except the Spirit of God. He knows what God's thinking. Good news for you, ladies. We've got the Holy Spirit in us. So guess what that means? We can know what God's thinking through the Holy Spirit. So that's how the Holy Spirit communicates to us, our human spirit, by the Holy Spirit, and helps direct us and bring us conviction and our conscience to lead us and guide us, see? And we just need to stop there. That was wonderful. Amen. I mean, there was so much more utterance. But I believe it was just right this morning. Amen. No more soul control, living life from your spirit. Thank you, Lord, for freedom in this place today.
That concludes this message. For more information about this ministry, contact us at Life of Faith Bible Church, 14200 Spiegel Lane, Louisville, Kentucky, 40299, or call 502-240-0016. You can also visit us online at lofbc.org.